Tonight I wanted to bring something up to us that is a pretty simple concept, but it's just so hard for us to do sometimes, you know? And the world that we live in, we're surrounded by evil, we're surrounded by influences that are always against us. It's as though we are oftentimes, as Christians, a rock and in a flowing stream that the water, the current, is always pushing against us, slowly eroding away at us. So I wanted to mention tonight something that we are reminded to be at all times, no matter what the cost, no matter what the situation. And our God is a holy God, and He has asked us one thing, and that is to be holy ourselves. If we read in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, it tells us that, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves and shall be holy, for I am holy." Furthermore, in Leviticus 19:2, he says, "Speak to all of the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Some funny spellings of the word set apart as Kadesh in the Old Testament, which meant purity, cleanliness, separation. In the New Testament, it was spelled as Hagios, or consecration to God, separation from the world. Those are just the definitions of holy, of being holy. We're to be separate. We're to be set apart from the world, from what's outside of the Lord. We're to be set apart. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Something that I want to look at is this reasonable service, this renewing of your mind, that if we do those things, that we may prove that there's something better, that I am set apart. That's how we're going to be able to accomplish this. "Be holy, for I am holy." Romans 1, chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and their lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And how true is that today, that all the things that are in this world, it's so easy for us to not be set apart, not separate ourselves, but to conform to it, even if it's just a little bit. Maybe it's something on the TV. And we all know you can't even watch TV nowadays without these crazy commercials that come on. Even though the program you might be watching is pure and holy and innocent, there's going to be some kind of trash commercial for this product that's going to do this, or this amazing thing that's going to do this for your body or your wife or your whatever. You know, it's just garbage. And we allow those little bits in, and the next thing you know, we've done graduated to maybe it might be an R-rated movie or, you know, something that's on the radio that I catch myself bobbing my head to. But if I'm listening to the words, it sure ain't holy. I've done conformed. That water has trickled over my body and worn away at my soul just enough to let some of that dreaded water in. Next thing you know, you'll sink. You know, it's kind of like if you have a dry suit on. I don't know if you know the difference between a dry suit and a wetsuit. A dry suit is what you would see the guys in the Arctic wearing. They zip that thing up and it is watertight. It goes all the way up to their neck. And it makes a perfectly watertight seal and it keeps them dry inside. If that suit gets any kind of a leak at all, it will drown that swimmer. It will fill up with water, and it will take them straight to the bottom. You know, in the same respect, that's how our soul can react to the outside world when we have that little bit of abrasion rubbing up against us on a constant basis. Something that we are to always be mindful of and to guard ourselves against, because we are to be holy. Genesis chapter 1, 26 verses through 27. "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. "In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them." God didn't make no junk. You know, I used to have a friend of mine tell me that all the time, and I'd laugh at him. It was just a random thought of his. God didn't make no junk. But how true is it? You know, he didn't make us junk. He created us after himself. And he had a set apart purpose for us from the beginnings of time. And it's something that we need to be mindful of on a daily basis, minute by minute. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. It doesn't take much for us to get sidetracked. So what are some effective measures in staying and making sure that we maintain our holiness? You know, and I also want to bring up that people oftentimes are beaten up for being holier than thou. You know, and for shining their light so bright that other people notice and they just get accosted for it, beat down for it. And just be mindful that 9 times out of 10, there's probably some form of hypocrisy related with that. And so that's where the holier than thou part came in. But we are to be holier than thou. You know, we need to maintain that fight in our Christian walks and in our life, that we hold our head up high and above the standard, so to speak, and that we don't allow ourselves to fall victim of that running water that is sin. So there are three different ways that we can sort of maintain our holiness. And that's one is holy thought. In fact, let's turn to Matthew. And then the other one is holy speech. And then lastly is holy conduct. But let's first look at Matthew chapter 5 and verses 28 through 30. Turn with me there, if you will. Matthew chapter 5, verses 28 through 30. And it reads, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for the whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it out from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." There's all kinds of debate about whether he's literal or not literal in that translation, in that right there. But I'm here to tell you, if there is anything right now that is going to keep you from going to heaven, cut it off. I don't think he could have been any more plainer and any more serious than one piece of scripture. If it offends you, cut it off. If it keeps you from making it to heaven, get it out of your life. Don't let something stop you from making it to heaven. That's his message. That's the message. That's the message in whole. Holy speech. So so we need to be mindful of our thoughts and trying to maintain our holiness. Our thoughts are going to be a huge part in that. That's the beginning, the bloodline of all evil is our thoughts. Secondly, if we have good thoughts, then we'll have good speech. Let's check out what he says in Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 3 through 7. And I'll pick up at the very beginning. He says, "Therefore be imitators of God, as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering as a sacrifice to God, as a fragrant aroma." Starting in verse 3. "But immorality and any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints, and there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them." So we find in those few verses that our speech is very important in my maintaining of holiness. You know, I used to crack up at my mother-in-law when I first met her and my wife and I first started dating. And the more encounters that I had with my in-laws, especially my mother-in-law, and finding out what true holiness really was about. And it was shocking and awe to me. Because she never had a bad word to say about anything.
ever.
It just was not something that I was accustomed to or used to. Certainly there would be a time where something would slip, something would happen, or that it would never be an encouraging word, or there would be some sort of backstabbing of somebody as soon as they turned their back, you know, but no, never, never. And still to this day, now I look at it as truly what it is. It's being home, you know, and it's the fact that she does that, that it changed the way that I think and the way that I look at things and the way that I act and behave, because I read it in the Bible and I see that she is doing the instructions, you see. It's nothing more than following the instructions. It's not a thing that she is doing in and of herself, but it's been a practice for her for, I don't know how old she is, but for a while to do these things. So it's not going to come to us naturally. You see, when we die to Christ and we come up out of that grave a new man, a new creature, and that's when it starts, you see. That's when that whole life starts of changing, of my attitude, my demeanor, the way that I react to situations, the way that I behave with other people. Let's continue with holy conduct in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. And this is sort of the text that this lesson was based from. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." There have been a lot of brethren that also have said that there aren't really any such thing as commandments in the New Testament. All the Old Testament was full of commandments, but that there really aren't. If that's not a commandment from the Lord Himself, I don't know what is. Be holy, for I am holy. How much more can you get away from the fact of our God asking us to do something? Be holy, for I am holy. We say, well, man, it's impossible to be that way today. There's too much water flowing over me, too much resistance, too much friction. It's impossible. No one can do that. Only Christ Himself can do that. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26 tells us and reminds us that with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, for it was fitting for Him, for whom all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Talking about Jesus the Christ here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some of for honor and some for dishonor. Remind you, some for dishonor. All right, what's next here? He says that some are for honor and some are for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, what's the latter? From the dishonor. If I cleanse myself from dishonor, I become a vessel for all that can be used for the Master, for God Almighty, to put good things back in me. But it requires action. It requires me to do something, to cleanse myself, to make myself set apart and be holy. Only then can I be used for the Master's work. John chapter 8, verses 49, Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father. You see, if once we die to Christ, and we are raised up again to live a newness in life, That's the goal for us, is to be Christ-like. In this verse here, John's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he started off with the woman about the adulterous woman there at the beginning of the chapter. And then, of course, he gets cornered by the scribes and the Pharisees, and they start hammering him about questioning and working and what he's doing and who do you call as your father? And they just wanted to knock him down. And Jesus tells them that I don't have a demon in me, but I honor my Father. He later tells them, in fact, let's turn to this section of Scripture. John chapter 8 is where our next Scripture reading will come from. John chapter 8 and verse 49 is where we'll start. We'll kind of go backwards and forwards with this, but just bear with me. We'll get the idea behind this. John chapter 8, verse 49. Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me." Flip back just a little bit to verse 29. "And he who sent me is with me, and has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." He's talking about God. God sent him here to this earth. He's here to do the things that please him. He's here to do the will of his Father. Our Father, our Creator. Chapter 5. Let's scroll back to chapter 5 and pick up in verse 30. He says, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So if that's my goal, if that's how I am to put my mindset, I cannot help but to be holy. If I'm chasing the things of the Father, I cannot help but be holy. It's this easy. It's really this easy for us. It's a mindset that we have to overcome, this world that we live in, to let the trash go by. Let the nonsense filter through. We don't need any part of it. Last, let's look at John chapter 6, verse 38. It says that, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but who? The will of him who sent me." Come down to do the will of the Father. And as is and should be our job as well, to do the will of the Father. Let's scroll or flip over to John chapter 15 and verse 10. It says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So how true is that? I mean, what is the easiest way for us to maintain our holiness? It's to mimic the life of Christ himself as best as we can. We're not perfect. We'll never be perfect. We're going to have to stay on our knees asking for forgiveness and begging for mercy, because it's in our human nature to mess up. And when we mess up, we usually do it in a pretty good, big fashion. But that's the beautiful thing of the Christ and the message that he brings, and the message of the cross is that we have that hope within him, that we can be cleansed from all of those things, that we can maintain a level of dignity in our holiness while we seek to even be more holy, if that's possible. You know, we never want to quit fighting the good fight. And with Christ in our lives, that's the only way it's going to be possible. Galatians chapter 2, verses 20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The word faith there. Simple word, man. I believe. That's all. That's all that word faith is I believe. I believe in the Son of God. I believe in Jesus the Christ. I believe that he loved me, and I believe that he gave himself for me. That's drive, folks. That's motivation. That's something that not many people will ever have. Someone to love them, someone to care for them, someone to give themselves for them. But the Christ did. If we're living truly as we can be and should be, In a holy sense, we're being set apart. We'll be noticed. Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 6. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." You know, earlier in the text, we were talking about Jesus and the scribes and the Pharisees, and he was telling them that they shouldn't be slaves. And he's like, "Man, we've never been slaves." You know, we talked about this in our Bible class a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, sure, currently, in your current situation, you are not enslaved. But Jesus didn't even bother with the battle of going back just, you know, a couple hundred years. And they had been enslaved in Egypt and all the other parts of the world. But what he is saying right here is that it doesn't even have to be a person to enslave us. You know, is that our sin enslaves us. Our own actions restrict us from having the freedoms and the truth that comes from knowing Christ, God Almighty. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. It was asked of me just yesterday to present a lesson on my behavior, my demeanor, my attitude when God blesses me. And each of us have been through this scenario. There's a promotion at work. There's a new car on the sales lot that I drive by every day. There's a new gun in this magazine. There's something out there that I want, and I pray. And it might even be for a healing. You know, there's all kinds of things that we want. And we'll pray for them hard. Maybe we're blessed with those things, and they come our way. Well, the question was asked to me, now what? What's my attitude? And I was taken back by it because it's such a simple question with a simple answer. But unless we are holy, we can't accept that answer. We're going to be, well, we're thankful until we get the next thing. You know? Yeah. But our mindset should never be one of things, first of all. You know, it's about what the will of the Father is, about doing His work. That's what should be first and foremost. You know, if other things come our way that are niceties in life, then give God the glory and move on. You know, give God the glory, share it with others. Whatever your blessings might be, don't let them just be blessings for yourself. You know, allow them to bless other people as well. So the answer to that is real simple. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. You see, it's those lusts that are going to get us in trouble. It's those lusts that are going to allow that water to creep in through the neck of our wetsuit, start filling up our boots, and then drag us to the bottom. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. So he's saying, present yourselves to God as being alive from dead. So there's that separation that we've been talking about this entire time. There's that separation from being dead to being alive. And that's the hope that we have. That's the thing that we have in Christ Jesus. That is what it is that makes us holy. Be holy, for I am holy. That's the charge for each one of us. We need to do this by believing and working through love. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. If you would grab our songbooks, we'll get ready to sing the invitation song. We also want to make sure that everybody has had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper. The Joneses, yep. So we'll have that opportunity here after the song of invitation. But we always offer the chance to make things right and to give every person the opportunity to follow the gospel, to obey the gospel. If baptism is necessary, we have got the capabilities to do that here now. And we always offer that invitation as well. So if you've heard the gospel and you've believed it and you know that Jesus Christ is indeed who He says He is, and that you believe that He is indeed the Son of God, that He died for each and every one of us, that He gave Himself up so freely for each and every one of us, to give us hope, to give us a chance. If you believe that, then you should also believe that they killed Him horribly so. Put Him on a cross, hung Him, put Him in a grave, where later by his own authority he rose from the dead. By his own authority. There wasn't some witch doctor that came in and did some voodoo stuff over the top of him and raised him up from the dead. This man arose himself. Defeated death. And promises us the same exact thing. For those of us that have been baptized, we have that. Maybe we've fallen short of God's holy plan for each and every one of us. And if we have, then we have the opportunity to make it right now as well. If there's anything that the congregation can do for you, we'd love to pray for you. We'd love to study with you, whatever it might be. Make your wishes known. Come together as we stand and we sing.